This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today, we actually have a special guest in the house, Miss Alyssa Stone. How are you, Alyssa?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we are honored to have you here. You have so much to offer to our listeners. And so I just want to kind of give a brief bio on Alyssa. So Alyssa Stone's background includes over 17 years experience bridging business partnerships and building internal teams within the healthcare, staffing, and real estate industry. She started her career with Robert Half International, a $3.3 billion organization. Alyssa ranked 45th in the world within the international company as Rookie of the Year, competing just 6 months in the year-long competition of over 400 offices worldwide. She was most recently recognized in 2017 as top producer within the Steven Stagner Sales Excellence Institute. In conjunction with this award, she also received an award for top producing team and was nominated as an elected president for the Sales Executive Board. Her roles have ranged from director of sales to division director, most recently as vice president of client strategies within a Houston, Texas real estate firm. Stone's initial immersion in real estate was in 2010 under the mentorship of a CEO who served as the 2014 president for the Houston Apartment Association. In addition, her mentor and supervisor also had multiple other leadership positions in the industry, such as Rental Owner of the Year at the city, state, and national level. Alyssa's previous Fortune 500 experience, her fascination and myopic immersion into real estate, combined with her consultative nature and business integrity, set the foundation for acquisition by design. Wow, that's a mouthful there. You are truly amazing.
Wow. Thank you.
A business owner, entrepreneur, and a mother of two, right?
Yeah, you throw twins on top of all that, wow, too.
And a fitness competition.
Yes.
She's a health junkie just like myself.
So, I do enjoy cocktails and dessert every now and then. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Well, welcome again.
Thank
I just
you.
Love your story. I kind of want to know more about how you got into the real estate, you know, to begin with. So why don't you start there?
Sure. I think everybody at some point in time in their life, you know, you want to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You want to put things on the table and kind of share your story. Maybe you only share a certain degree, but I will share how I got started in real estate. So early on, I was on my own at 15 in my own apartment.
Wow.
And then I progressed through the corporate world. And from there, you know, I traveled all the time, mm-hmm, 5 days a week. And then I got married and I decided to have kids a couple of weeks later. Or I'm sorry, a couple of years.
Wow.
A couple of years. And when I did, you know, unfortunately, life happens, mm-hmm, sometimes. So I found myself on my own with kiddos and no career when they were 7 months old.
Wow.
And so I kind of dug back into my past because I remember being 13 years old and my dad set me down and he had me set some goals. And he said, if you had unlimited time, talent, money, and support from your friends and family, what is it that you would do with your life?
Mm.
And one of the things that I wrote down, and I still have that piece of paper, is that I wanted to own my own company.
Wow.
So fast forward, when I found myself with young twins, I could not go back into the corporate world because, mm-hmm, I was going to be on the road 5 days, mm-hmm, a week, and I wanted to be there for my kids and raise my kids. So it was at that point in time that I said, let's start my own company.
Mm-hmm.
There's no riskier time than ever to do this. Two small kids. Let's feel the fear and do it anyways and do whatever it takes. And here I am 4 years later.
Wow, that's, yeah, what a story. Yeah.
So what made you have the like guts to do that? Was it just, maybe you just had to, I don't know. Is it, you know, what? Yeah.
I've always had this burning desire from the time that I was young. Everything that I've set forth in my life and wanted to do, I always wanted to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never to be number one by stepping on anybody to get to where you want to be. It's about how do we bring everybody up together.
Mm.
And so that was really kind of the background. And I'd always felt that passion and that desire in my heart to own my own company. I didn't know when it was going to be. I didn't know how. And I found myself in that situation. And I just knew the time is now.
Mm-hmm.
And so literally when my kids were 3 years old, that's the day that I opened my LLC, and that was March 11th, and they just turned 7 this month as well, so 4 years later.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to, because there's so many out there that I think are scared to take that
first step.
Yeah, mm-hmm, make that leap. What advice would you give them in those? I mean, for like Joni and I know it was, we were 18, 19,
mm-hmm,
and so like,
we had nothing to lose.
We had nothing to lose, and we had no money.
It was just us, yeah. So if we failed, I mean, it was on us. I mean, but you had small kids. Yeah. So, I mean, that's
you had obligations.
A fear that a lot of people have.
It was absolutely a fear because I looked myself in the mirror, and I'll share a story with you that's being quite vulnerable, but I looked myself in the mirror and I was like, if I fail, I'm letting these two beautiful babies that are looking me in my eyes every single day down. Either I'm going to fail or I'm going to make it work and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And I will tell you, there's been ups and downs, as with any entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Basically, when you're starting with very little and doing whatever it takes, you get very creative. And very early on, I had two projects going on at the same time. This is whenever I first got started. And I literally pulled up my checking account, and I looked at my checking account. I had $2.56 in there.
Wow. Yeah.
All my credit cards are maxed out. And I look at my kids, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, what am I going to do? Yeah. And so, unfortunately, at that point in time, you kind of reach. You do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. And so I sold my ring from my previous marriage, and I used that money to get by. And, you know, the good news is that was a very hard moment. That mm-hmm. was terrifying. I didn't share it with any friends. I didn't share it with any family members mm-hmm. until after the fact. And I just was relentless, and I'm going to make this work. And so, you know, those two houses sold, and then, you know, I kind of popped back up, and I'm like, whew, okay, I can breathe a little bit now. Yeah. But there's been a lot of those stories along my journey, and I'm the first person to put that on the table because I go through, you know, typically 3 or 4 days where I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm trying to be the best mom possible. Mm-hmm. But it's like, give yourself room, fill whatever it is you need to fill, and then overcome it in your head. What's the next step? How do you keep getting back up? And that's what I find common in my journey is like you have those moments, but it's all about getting back up.
Thank you, number one, for sharing that.
Yes, I know that's hard, because him and I, we're our support system. And, you know, not having that person to lean on for the support, I can only imagine, like, how hard it is. So I give you a ton of credit.
Thank you. Yeah, and that's in parenting and business, you know, because as a mom, you know, there are decisions I make, there's things I do, and I'm like, am I making the right decision? And it's like, you almost want somebody to bounce things off of, a strategy partner, whether that be business or personal. And so, yeah, you find certain people like that in your life, but I think it is different when you have, you know, that connection, that partnership, which is amazing. But, you know, I have wonderful people in my life, business associates, my mom, my stepdad, amazing friends, and so I'm very lucky in that regard.
Surrounding yourself with the right people, and I know that you are in masterminds and you're surrounding yourself with people, like-minded people every single day. Tell us the importance of being in a mastermind.
Yeah. Well, that's how I got connected to you.
Yes.
And you're now managing one of my properties.
Right.
So it's a referral network. I want to align myself and partner with people who are well-known in the industry, who have a good reputation, a good credibility, integrity. Those are very, very important to me. There's a lot of people in any business, especially real estate, that you can have people that are of like-minded individuals, and they, you know, maybe they have the credibility and the integrity, and then you have the opposite side, right?
Right.
So how I got connected to you is I asked around in the market. I'm like, who's a great person to talk to? That's how you came about. And then we met, and I think we kind of hit it off on the fitness side because you were going through a fitness competition.
Right.
And it was just like, okay, this is amazing. And so it's some of those masterminds that you align yourself with where you meet other great people that you go into business with.
Yeah.
I think you had a great story, too, that we talked about before we got on, started recording was that you went and picked a place that you could office to surround yourself with like-minded people and probably people you could bounce ideas off with. So I think that's
a great
strategy and strategic. So
Thank you.
Very smart.
It was. You know, I was sitting at home and I had my nice home office and I was running my business doing single family rehabs. You know, every now and then I'm loading the kids up and they're going on projects with me because you do whatever it takes. And I missed that team environment. I missed the strategy. I missed being a sponge and learning from everybody. And also wanting to give back. And so that's what led me to Total Wealth Academy and the business alignment there. So I now office out of there. I speak up there quite a bit. And it's just an amazing organization because you learn so much and you're surrounding yourself with people who are so much smarter than myself, right?
Right.
And that's
the key.
Let me pick and take all this away.
You want to be the dumbest person in the room, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
Has your, I got a good story there. Has your kids ever, like, so I took my kids one day to, it was a house that wasn't far from where we live. And we're like, let's just go check it out. And I was watching the kids that day. And we got in, we were in the house checking it out. All of a sudden we looked down and our legs were black with fleas. And they were just, my son still has scars from all the flea bites. Yeah, all over. Wow. Yeah, so I don't know if your kids have experienced fleas yet.
Well, on one of my projects, they actually went to my very first one. This was years and years ago. And I mean, anything that can be wrong with a rehab, you know, they tell you not to do acreage property. They tell you don't do flood homes. Don't do homes with green pools. Don't do homes with squatters. And
you did
this property was all of that. And so, you know, my kids would go and tour it, but I'd be very careful because there were snakes and stuff. And then there was another one, smaller property, but it had a green pool and there was trash on the backyard. So I really want to teach kind of morals and values within my kids and responsibility. So we went to the backyard of that house and I said, okay, you know, Gavin and Layla, we're going to earn a commission. We're all going to work together. So I have this picture by the end of the day, it's during the middle of the summer, you know, we're all sweaty, hot,
right.
And they earned their commission. And then we took a picture in front of the green pool. And it was kind of a neat story.
Cool. I'm sure they'll remember that and look back. But I'm just curious, personal question. How do you manage it all? Like, how are you, you know, raising kids, single mother, business?
Yeah. This is going to be a long one.
And then, you know, and then the fitness part. I think people really try to strive in all those buckets, if you really think of family, business, fitness.
Health, fitness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's hard, right? And
I don't know. Absolutely is. You know, I purchase a lot of energy drinks from Amazon. They come like once a month. But I have this motto where I want it all in life. Mm-hmm. And I was told, you know, I did, you know, pretty well in my corporate career prior to marriage and having kiddos. But I was told at one point in time, you can't have it all. You can't do it all. You're going to fail. You're going to fall on your face. And so I let things like that drive me. But my motto that I've come up with over the years is strong body, strong mind, strong entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you're strong in all those areas, it absolutely carries over. So for example, if I'm on my game on working out, which I have been since my competition in October, you know, I feel better about myself and I'm stronger in the business world. But if that's kind of lacking, I can feel that carry over. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, if you don't feel as good about yourself, you're not as good of a parent, or at least I'm not.
Yeah.
And so I really strive and focus on finding balance. And I analyze myself on a weekly basis. So if I'm off track on one area, I'm like, how do I correct this? Mm-hmm. How do I get better? How do I improve? And that even spills over to the kids. For example, I remember one day, you know, I'm driving from appointment to appointment and it's time to pick up the kids and I'm rushing. And then I get and I pick them up and, you know, I have two 6-year-old twins. Energy, active.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whew, you know, it's been like this all day. And so I'm like, how can I be a better parent in that situation? So what I realized, have your work day that's chaotic and crazy. You accomplish things. Have about 10 to 15 minutes where you calm down a little bit, you know, breathe a couple times, and then go in and you're able to switch gears 100% to being that mom.
Right.
And so it's like I had to self-reflect and understand what can I do better in this situation.
It's so cool. It's crazy how much we're alike.
I know we are. That's what I like to.
Do you do anything like journal or anything to kind of help you and get your thoughts out, right?
Because you know, I probably should, and I've heard you mention that before, and I should probably take a page out of your book. I don't journal, but what I do is I listen to very positive and motivational messages. You know, a lot of YouTubes. You know, Joel Osteen, you know, he speaks to me. I know he doesn't speak to everybody, but he does speak to me. And then there's other motivational things talking about overcoming your fear and, you know, living out your dreams and carrying on and not giving up. And I find that that really helps drive me, especially when I do start to get scared and I start to get overwhelmed, because it does happen often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you get back up again.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. So, I mean, I saw online and on social your recent $1 million flip. So I kind of want to get.
Sean's really curious about that and how that all went up.
Yeah. So tell me, I even looked it up. I went on HAR and I analyzed.
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, so
it's beautiful.
Tell us, I guess, how you, if you don't mind, how you found it, you know, maybe some of the struggles you went through doing it and then the end result. Like what, you know, kind of the whole
story. Sure. Yeah. The whole story. I remember my very first rehab. The purchase price of that was $156,010. And I thought that was a lot of money. Okay, so fast forward this $1 million project, the purchase price was $645,000. When I entered into the contract, I had no idea how I was going to close because I knew if I used a hard money lender, I would need at least $150,000 cash to take to closing. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that. But I'm like, well, let's just enter this anyway and figure it out.
That's why what not, I, right?
That, love it.
That's what I've done on the last five contracts.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. And so it was funny because I walked the property and the neighbor came out in a very established neighborhood in Memorial. The neighbor came out. She was, ironically, I later found out, the president of the HOA.
Oh,
that's never good.
Yeah. I was like, oh, no. You better be friends with that person.
And so she's like, you're never going to sell this house. This house is so odd and it's weird and it's the oddball in here and it's very traditional homes in there. And this was very contemporary-ish feel. But I had a vision and I felt something in my intuition. So I'd run the numbers. And what I'm kind of known for is if you look at traditional numbers, my numbers don't typically work. What I'm able to do in neighborhoods and what I've been known for is to force appreciation. Mm. So for example, on some of the rehabs I've done, for example, maybe price per square foot, the neighborhood usually trades at $100, you know, price per square foot. And then, you know, when I come in and I do my rehabs, like the first one traded for $113 price per square foot, and then I upped it to $130.
Wow.
So it is a risk, and I don't encourage anybody and everybody to do that, but that's my business model. And so I found this house, didn't know how I was going to close on it, went into the contract, and I had a private money lender lined up to loan on everything, purchase price, rehab. Well, he backed out last minute. He wanted to purchase a $4 million hotel. And I was like, ooh. So I went into rapid action mode, and that's when I contacted one of my, you know, favorite hard money lenders.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I go, here's the deal. Here's the house. Here's the budget. I'm going to need you to save me. And I said, that $150,000 that I need to take to closing, we're going to have to get creative. Let's do $50,000. And he said, Elissa, I've never done this before. And I go, don't you own the company? Aren't you the CEO? Like, make the decision.
Make it happen. Make it happen.
But he wasn't sold. So I said, okay, why don't you come out to the home? Why don't you tour it with me? Let me take you through the design elements. I want you to see it. And so I could tell because I watch people and I watch human behavior. By the end of this visit, when he saw the actual home, you know, pre-rehab, and I took him through the design elements, he's like, done, we got you. And what was even more funny is we close, and then I go back and have another idea. Well, I want to add another room and another bathroom. So I called and I was like, I need more money. And so the way that it finished out, it was a huge risk. Yeah. It was a super fun project. I did a two-story skylight tiled all the way in the kitchen.
I saw that. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, thank you. And the construction company, they're like, well, let's just do 4 feet up. And I'm like, it's all in or all out. There's no in between. And then we also did a window wall. So it was a very 80s feel, but these windows overlooked the pool. So we blew out the entire wall and the entire thing opened up.
Were they
up.
The folding ones and everything?
Yes, the accordion-style doors. So the entire wall opened up. And it was amazing. And then I met the person that actually purchased the property because I was there filming, doing some marketing. And she walked in with her realtor and my natural personality. I'm super excited about the things that I do. So I'm like, oh, I've done this and I've done that. And then I looked at the other realtor and I go, oh, I'm sorry. Am I overstepping my boundaries? She goes, no, keep selling. but it was a fun project. It turned out to be wonderful. The company that I purchased the home from, they didn't think that I would probably pull over $930,000, $940,000 ARV, and it ended up trading for $1 million. There was a slight concession, you know, to the actual buyer, but it did well, and it was an amazing project. And then the day that we were closing, the president of the HOA walked out, and she's like, oh, is the home, like, ever going to sell? And I go, yeah, absolutely. We're closing today. And her eyes got big. And I was like, okay, thank you. Yeah.
Would you do it all over again? Would you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because I was so fascinated with the project. And quite honestly, and I do this with a lot of my projects, and I don't recommend this for investors, but I do get emotionally attached. The numbers have to work. But if I had it my way, I would have absolutely moved in there. Gorgeous property.
How long did it take you from the time that you started the rehab to when you sold it?
It was right at about 4 months construction time, and then about another 30 days to sell.
Wow.
So and it was about a $200,000 renovation, so very, very extensive.
How do you, because you mentioned you get, you're at the top end of most comps for most neighborhoods. Are you having appraisal issues, or do you meet the appraiser and sell
I'm
them?
I'm sure she does. I know. She's selling the appraisal. Like, look at all those
renovations. I already knew the answer, but I want the listeners to hear this. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That is part of my business model.
Yeah.
I do nice little packages. I talk about how much money I've put into the home. I absolutely am there during the appraisal process because, you know, it's not just selling something. You're selling your vision. You're selling your passion. I mean, you're looking at hardcore facts and numbers on paper, But what I have found in the business is, you know, you can sit behind a desk, you can do Zooms, but there's something to face-to-face interaction.
Oh, absolutely.
Being personable. I mean, yeah. You know, like today,
right.
For me, I'm old school, like corporate raised. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I love face-to-face. I love, you know, mm-hmm. meeting people, talking to them. And same thing with an appraisal process. You have a much better result on the back end when you establish a relationship, when you are helpful to them, you're able to answer questions as they're going through the house. And so that's worked very well for me and did that on Stone King Apartments as well.
For awesome. The listeners listening right now, that is the key takeaway right there, because we do the same, and I can tell you that we have been saved so many times just by meeting the appraiser out there.
Yes. And every time we haven't done it, it doesn't appraise.
It backfires.
100%.
Absolutely.
Yep. Same experience.
Mm-hmm. You say you're too busy or whatever, it always backfires.
You're like, it'll be fine. The comps are there. Well.
You can send them the comps and it still doesn't.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But a fun project that... thank you for involving us in it and helping us manage it. But can you get into that? Because I know you've kind of pivoted and starting to do a lot more multifamily.
Yeah, so I guess multi-million dollars to the world of multifamily.
Yes.
Or can you first explain just that pivot? So what made mm-hmm. you transition? What do you see in multifamily versus single family? And
sure.
What's making you go that way?
Yeah. When I started my company right at 4 years ago, mm-hmm. I started with the end in mind. I always knew that I would go multifamily syndication. Mm-hmm. It was about building up the integrity, the credibility, the respect, and also understanding what you're doing and learning as you go along. Mm-hmm. And so I opted to start with the single family rehabs. I did that because I needed to build a little bit of cash to be mm-hmm. able to put into deals as well. And so I always started with the end in mind. I didn't know when I was going to transition. It mm-hmm. was just natural progression to me. And I made that decision, I think probably 8 months ago now. And it happened overnight. I felt like I had the appropriate people lined up in my backyard uh-huh. that I've been partnering with. And I've gotten some amazing experience on the single family side. And so when I executed and went into contract on my first, you know, multifamily acquisition, 100% owner, again, that was very creative deal financing, mm-hmm. bringing a first lien position holder as well as a second mm-hmm. to get the job done. And then, you know, bringing in an amazing management company. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing to me is I'm looking at the numbers, right? So it was all, most of the tenants, it was a smaller property, but yeah. month-to-month leases. How do I force appreciation? How do I increase the valuation of the mm-hmm. property even more? In a little less than 8 months by turning it, we've had, you know, a couple of evictions and things like that. We had a hoarder unit.
There's
been some, there's been some interesting pictures
to prove that one.
But we were able to increase the value of the property in a little less than 8 months by $12,909 mm-hmm. per door, which is amazing.
That's huge.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm now under contract on another opportunity, and I don't typically like to elaborate and go into too much detail until it's closed on the back end, but I am officially in contract. And what's really cool about this opportunity, it's not only multifamily, it's also storage units.
Mm. Oh, cool.
So that typically with investors, you have storage units and or you have multifamily. Mm-hmm. This is a combination of both. And then I'm also a very long-term strategy person. So you have Stone King uh-huh. apartments, and the biggest reason why I bought that is because I also wanted to build out additional units at some point. Well, this other property under contract, very close, which is good, mm-hmm. right? There's a reason why I did that. And there's also an area to build out more units. So long-term strategy, of course, I'd have to raise money for it, get appropriate funds, but start the builds at Stone King Apartments, have the same team drive less than 10 minutes down the road and build 8 more units at this other property as well.
Awesome.
So just neat opportunities and looking at long-term strategy.
Is your long-term to, do you think you'll continue to just hold them and keep building it out, or... are you looking to treat it more like you did the single family, like, let me improve it, let me force appreciation and then sell it, or refinance?
Sure. Yeah. So there's a couple of different exit strategies. My long-term strategy is the buy and hold because I want to build up the passive income,
right?
Not only for myself, but for some of my equity mm-hmm. partners. But yes, at some point, typically probably the 4-year mark, I would look at a refinance, pulling that cash out, mm-hmm. you know, giving the seed money back to investors, you know, plus some, and then continuing to build that passive income, but also being very aware about the market and when is appropriate to sell, what's best for my investors.
Right.
Investors and Equity Partners, and that's a group decision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it is the buy and hold. And you know, one of the goals that I have from a personal perspective is I want over $100,000 a month in passive income. And the reason for that is because I want to be on the beach with my kids and enjoy it.
Awesome. I was just going to ask you, what's your next, you know, going into goals, what is your next, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's the whole reason I started my company, because I wanted to be able to shut down and be with my kids and have that flexibility and not have anybody tell me you need to be in the office or you have to miss this activity. And the struggle is real. You know, you it's completely chaotic, and you go from doing homework to activities to, you know, running a business. And I'm like, babies, okay, sorry, I gotta get on a business call. I'm sorry, you gotta be quiet for two seconds. But you make it work, and it's because I see the long-term gain in the end and being able to shut down and have that passive income and be with my kids and enjoy.
Awesome.
That's great. So we have a lot of, you know, new listeners, and maybe they're getting into the real estate world. Like, what advice would you give somebody just coming in and just starting off?
Yes. I know y'all are probably going to ask about books at some point. Mm-hmm. I have a book. It's called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyways by Susan Jeffers.
Ooh, I need to read that one.
Yeah.
Amazing book. So I've read it for years and years and years. When I get stuck in my head or stuck in life, this talks about feeling the fear and overcoming it and doing it anyways. Mm-hmm. This could be personal relationships, business, kids, anything. And it talks about how deep down inside you were terrified of taking the risks, but there was a far greater chance of you being, you know, nervous about falling on your face instead of going for it. So starting out in the business, which I still experience today, I'm under contract on this new property, I'm terrified. I'm scared, but you feel the fear and do it anyways. You educate yourself appropriately along the way. You know, sometimes you do have to move forward and make decisions where you're like, I'm not sure how I'm going to get this done, but you have to have that confidence in yourself that no matter what, you're going to figure it out, and or say you stub your toe and fall on your face. What do you learn from it? How do you get back up and ensure that that's not going to happen again?
100%.
Ken, in your mind, now that you've kind of bridged that gap, can people skip single family and go right into multifamily? Or
absolutely, if they have a little bit of cash in the bank, what I would recommend is having probably at least $150,000. If not, a little bit safer would probably be $200,000. So a lot of people do start out on the rehab side because it's that opportunity to get some pops of income. And then once you get a little bit of stability in the bank, launch into the multifamily side. But that's really an individual decision. It's about risk tolerance, and it's also about your fiduciary duty with investors if you're raising money.
Yeah.
Because me personally, and I think this is what a lot of people read about me, is I would lose anything and everything before I wouldn't give a cent back to my investors.
Right.
Like, it's just, when I look myself in the mirror every single night, I want to feel good about who I am and what I do and bringing everybody up. And that's just who I've always been, and that's who I will always be, and I know that deep down inside.
Well, we know that as well. I know that as well. I just love your energy, your drive, your passion. It's like, everything about you is just awesome.
So. Thank you. So sweet. I feel the same about you.
So, I mean, any just on the multifamily and what you've learned, any key takeaways that, you know, especially on these two projects that you started, what have you, anything you would share that like, oh man, I wish I knew this going in, or
the multifamily, especially there's a lot of challenges you had early on.
Yeah. So. It's a different beast. I do keep a journal, maybe not on the personal side,
but on
the business side, and everything that I've learned. So this is something so simple, but I did not know this, right? My first multifamily acquisition, I'm turning on all the utilities and insurance and all that good stuff. Well, a lot of times with multifamily, there's very, very significant deposits, you know, $600 here, $1,000 here, $1,500 here.
Right.
I didn't account for that in my analysis. So I learned, and that's absolutely applied on the next one. Now, I had funds to be able to cover, you know, some of those things. Something else that I learned is, you know, when you create another LLC entity, I was based out of Nevada instead of Texas. And so you also have foreign filing. And the reason why I did that, because it's a little bit more difficult to pierce the corporate veil out of Nevada. So it's protection, asset protection. But, you know, you look at almost $2,800 in LLC formation. So there's all these little fees that maybe you don't account for in your original analysis, and they absolutely add up. So that's something to watch for. And then, you know, the other takeaway and the biggest thing is, I feel like every investor, no matter what you do, whether it's single family, multifamily, storage units, there's always this fear inside. Am I making the right decision? Am I doing the right thing? Are my analysis, spot on? Are they on point? And you can go through all those processes and you still have that fear,
yes.
But you have to move forward. Mm-hmm. You have to execute. And that takes me back to one single family example back in the day. You know, I'm new in the business. It was mm-hmm. actually my second project. And I'd been analyzing this deal, and I negotiated on it for 7 months. Mm. Wow. The seller would commit, and then they would back out. But I knew there was a deal. I knew I could help them. 7 months later, I got the contract signed. And I wanted to be spot checked by a more experienced investor. So I had an investor that had been in the business for 15 years. And he said, don't do this deal. You're going to lose. He goes, you're going to lose your ass. Sorry. Yeah. He goes, you're going to lose. And he goes, and you're never going to pull over 500 grand on the back end. So I go and look myself in the mirror and I'm like almost in tears. I'm like, I've worked on this for 7 months. What are you talking about? And so I had a choice. I had a choice to listen to him. He's more experienced mm-hmm. than me by far, and not move forward and always wonder, or I have the option to look at my analysis, look at my due diligence, trust my business intuition and say, hey, if I go for this and I fall on my face, a lot of people might laugh, but at least I went for it. Mm. But what if I win? What if I don't fall on my face?
Yeah.
And so I moved forward, and that was one of the two houses during the time where I had $2.56 in my checking account. I'm like, am I going to fall on my face with this project? And I have $2.56 in my checking account. Like, can it get any worse than this? My kids are looking at me and I'm like, oh my gosh. Long story short, it sold for $607, $107,000 more than that investor told me I would never get. So the moral and the point is, sometimes you have to step out of your comfort zone.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you have to feel fear and move forward. And even if you stub your toe, get back up and learn from it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We've done
way
too many of this.
Never tell Alyssa no, because she will find a way to make it happen.
I think I love when people tell me I can't do something. I love when they doubt me.
Let me prove it.
Our team knows too. They're like, if she demands this, you better figure it out. Yeah. So you just seem like a go-getter and just a hard charger. Yeah. So, but that's what makes you, and I think mm-hmm. that's what makes you special and got you to where you are. So yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you.
So how can people get involved with you, or is there, I don't know if you do any coaching, or just to say they want to follow you, do you have any insight?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I wasn't on social media until 2017, but I'm on Instagram. You can look at my name, Alyssa Stone, and then also Facebook, same thing. But I would recommend my company website, Acquisitions by Design, and you can go to the investor tab or contact us tab and just fill out your information. You're automatically populated in my database and you have all my contact information. Very open person, you know, to communication, talking, collaborating. That's very important to me in this business. And I always try to help and give back, and as people have done with me too.
Yeah. Do you do any design like for other investors?
It's funny because I don't actively have that business, but I'm kind of known within Total Wealth. If anybody needs some design help, to reach out to me, obviously, for a consulting fee.
Of course.
That's
but
cool.
yes, yeah. That's definitely an element in my business as well.
That's great.
Awesome.
Well, we'll have everything in the show notes so our listeners will be able to get a hold of you. So
yeah, well thank you for being here. We greatly appreciate it. I think everybody got a ton of, and your advice is like very practical stuff that they can implement today. So thank you for sharing.
Sure.
Yeah.
I absolutely appreciate y'all's time and having me. It's really been an honor. Thank you so much.
It's been so much fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. So if you enjoyed this episode, please share it, like it. We depend on your reviews to keep this show going. So thank you very much. And we'll see you all next week.
See ya.
Bye guys.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.